And it's time for an afternoon together once again. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. Roger Taylor, he'll turn up shortly, I'm sure. He actually had, he's unavoidably detained. So,
okay.
That's the best way to put it. So, of course, that means you get some time with little old me and, of course, Michael, the wonder producer.
Thank you.
There you go. See, I'm buttering you up. The check cleared, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. All right, anyway, so we are here. Lots to talk about today. Of course, so we'll talk a little bit about that weather here a little bit later. Bob Larson coming up. He'll give us a lowdown on just exactly what we can expect, how much of that white stuff we're going to be seeing, that kind of stuff, so you can look forward to that. Before we get to all of that, though, and you heard about this in CBS News, and by the way, the show today brought to you in part by Bronson Healthcare, named one of America's 100 best hospitals for stroke by HealthGrades. You can learn more at BronsonNeuroscienceCenter.com. Now, as you heard in CBS News at the top of the hour, it's an annual thing that Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma puts out, the Waste Book. And I always find this interesting, going through some of the things that apparently the government loves to spend money on that you and I would look at and go, what? I mean, there's a lot of stuff on this list. It's a shame Roger's not here right now because I'd love to get his take on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in years past, it's been like dinosaur expeditions to China and the study of emissions from cattle in California.
So basically a bunch of useless stuff we spend money on.
Pretty much. So this year, Tom Coburn and his crew put together a list that includes all sorts of interesting things. For instance, apparently $1 million was spent on a bus stop in Virginia by our government.
Oh, boy.
You know, because that's so important to do.
Yes.
Some of the other things, apparently $7 billion worth of U.S. military equipment was destroyed as U.S. troops pulled out of Afghanistan.
Hmm.
So that one's a little disturbing.
Yeah.
You spend all that money on that stuff. It's like, okay, you can't send a C-130 over and pick it up?
Yeah, really? Can't send like a big transport plane over and bring that home?
That wouldn't be cheaper or, you know, find somewhere close that has water and pull one of our ships up? I don't know. I mean, just I mean, it's just some of the thoughts here you have. And, of course, nearly $1.5 billion so they can keep the lights on in unused or underutilized federal buildings. Always important, of course, to make sure the lights are on and buildings no one frequents.
Yeah, I always turn off my heat or lights before I leave the house. I mean, why do we need to keep lights on in a place where nobody's going to be at?
Well, you never know when someone might show up through the door and they'll need to see their way in this building that nobody uses, that apparently no one goes into.
Just tell them to flip on the light switch.
Or here's another one. Here's another one for people that enjoy different bits of Americana and that kind of thing. How about the $1 million grant for something called the Popular Romance Project?
What the heck? I mean, there's like Match.com for romance.
Okay, well, apparently the government feels like we all need a helping hand. So there's a website and documentary that celebrates romantic movies, books, and pop songs.
Hmm. Someone could make their own collection of that.
You would think so. And you would think if this was so popular that someone out there would have done their own thing, not
yeah.
the government involved. That, you know, because people enjoy love.
Yeah.
You know, romance. It's okay, there's probably not everybody, but there's a lot of people that would enjoy a good movie or a good song. I mean, you know, think about the entire 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Decade where it was nothing but unintelligible romance songs. And I'm sure I'll get arguments there, but you know what? I grew up in the 80s, so, you know.
I mean, you got
Michael
Bolton.
I'm an expert on it there. So yeah. And Michael Bolton, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is apparently now forced to be doing Honda ads.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yes, I did.
You know, he's doing Honda ads now, so it's nice to see that his career is really on the rise there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes from you know, multi-platinum Grammy Award-winning albums to
Honda jingles.
Singing about the Honda Accord or whatever it is. I don't understand it. All right, there's other things on the list. $2 million to renovate a rarely visited Civil War gristmill.
Wow.
So, you know, a few people show up, but you know what? We need to repair this thing. So, okay. Since NASA doesn't go into space anymore, they figured they wanted to get them doing something. So a couple of things here. First of all, $3 million for NASA employees to attend seminars on how Congress works.
Boy, that would be entertaining because I would really love to see that. How does it work?
You know, that's a good question. And if anybody can figure it out, maybe it's the people at NASA.
Yeah, then they can run.
Now, here's the other thing, though. Oh, you remember the government shutdown?
Mm-hmm.
97% of NASA's staff was laid off. Which, okay. Who knows what in the world they were doing anyway,
yeah.
Other than, you know, it's all this technology to hitch a ride with the Russians, basically. Mm-hmm. You know? But there was still 20 people on the payroll that were paid $18,000 each to lie around and do nothing for 70 days.
Well, I would love to get paid that much to do nothing.
Now there is a catch.
Okay.
They were supposed to lie around and do nothing for 70 days with their body slightly tilted forward.
Interesting.
Basically, what they're doing, they're studying how astronauts' bodies will change in space flight. But
they're not flying.
They're not flying into space, and they really have no plans to do this anytime soon. So basically, people were paid to lie around in bed all day, slightly tilted forward.
Oh, my gosh.
Interestingly enough, the Fort Hood shooter, still on the federal payroll.
That's ridiculous. He shouldn't be being paid at all.
He has, since he allegedly killed 13 and injured 32, he has been paid, since that time, $278,000.
That's ridiculous.
Let's see. We have the Army spent 3.5 years and $300 million on a football field-sized blimp that doesn't work.
No, nope. just goes to show you what the Army spends their money on.
Of course, of course. Interesting thing here. The government spent $500,000 to spruce up one block in a town of 1,150 people.
Why?
This is Rossville, Kansas. They got a grant of, it was actually over $500,000, $532,000 to make one block in the downtown area more decorative and colorful.
I'd love to see what it looked like beforehand and what it looks like now, just to see the change in that.
Sadly, there are no pictures. I would be interested to see how the taxpayer investment there was put to use. Since, you know, this is a town that chances are, I'm sure you've not been. I've not been there.
I've not been there.
You know, I don't know anyone that has. But basically what this works out to is $462 of government funds for every resident of that particular city so that block could be made more colorful and decorative.
Okay, if you're going to spruce up towns, why not take that money to, like, towns that are run down, spruce them up, and then bring the people back into that town?
Now there's a thought.
Yeah.
There's a thought. You don't think Detroit could use $500,000
exactly
to take care of some problems there? I wouldn't to solve everything.
It wouldn't solve everything, but it would at least make the town look better. You could, tear down some of the empty houses, you know, build new ones, apartment buildings, things of that nature, businesses.
Now, there is one thing that's on this list that I have to beg to differ with.
Okay.
I don't think this is necessarily a waste. This is actually, it looks like NASA's doing something here other than lying on their back slightly tilted forward, which apparently is what it takes to come up with ideas like this. NASA awarded a nearly $125,000 grant to a contractor to build a 3D pizza printer.
Oh, my.
No, I don't think that's a waste of money right there. You know, if we can perfect this, you think about this. We wouldn't have to order a pizza. You could just print one.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a great idea.
Great pizza out of your printer.
Now, they are spending about $1 million on Martian food development because eventually I guess they figure they're going to get back to space at some point other than hitching rides with other people. But they're saying that, according to this report, the 3D printer pizza said it could be years until the creation becomes feasible.
A lot of creations take a lot of time before they become feasible.
Sure, sure. Well, and, you know, there's 3D printers out there.
Yes.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, that's the next logical step. But a food printer, I mean, it intrigues me. But at the same time, should NASA be spending money on it?
Yeah, I wonder how exactly would that work. Is that like a replicator like you would see like in Star Trek, something like that?
It could be, you know. And here's the thing. I mean, does it do just pizza, or could you walk up and go, tea, Earl Grey, halt?
Yes.
Which everyone would do immediately as soon as the thing came online. Oh, I got to try that. So these are just some of the examples of what was in the waste book. And the sad part about it, I mean, you know, we sit here and laugh at these things. But you're talking about $30 billion of our money spent by Congress. By comparison, there was a compromise budget passed just last week, or partially passed. I mean, the House passed it, Senate's looking at it. That cuts deficit spending by just $23 billion over 10 years. $23 billion over 10 years, they could have saved $30 billion right there.
Yeah, they could have saved it right there.
On all of these things like the Popular Romance Project, which I think, quite frankly, anybody could do with just a little time on their hands and Google.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's, you know what, I could save you $1 million right there. You know what, they'll just, tell you what, give me $1 million and I'll Google search the whole thing.
Yeah,
how about that?
Great romance songs, great chick flicks.
There you go. It wouldn't be too difficult. I mean, how many lists are there out there? You know, great romantic comedy movies of the 80s. Right there you go. We could save the government some money. Or at the very least, funnel it to me instead of whoever it is that got it to do this documentary and website for apparently documenting things that have already been documented so many times, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And they could put this money to better use. I mean, they could spend it on infrastructure, on roads, education, or, you know, with NASA, why not give them money to send them back into space? Let us be explorers.
Ooh, now, there's an idea.
Yes.
Actually explore space.
Instead of just...
At the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
That's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, but apparently they want to find out how Congress works, so... you know, that might not be all bad, because it would take a batch of scientists to really figure that out. Because I don't know about you, but I can't figure it out. Just keeping up with the news, I can't figure it out.
It's hard. I mean, one day they're talking out of the left side of their mouth, the next day they're talking out of the right side of their mouth.
You know, the funny thing about this, Tom Coburn, who puts this out, the senator, and he said they ask him, well, you know, have you ever gotten any traction in Congress with any of this? Does any of this go away as a result? And he says, no. No, it doesn't. And he points out that basically he says, you know, this is all this pork barrel stuff that people will bring back to their district and say, look what I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whoever it is that's got NASA in their district must be doing real well. That's all I can say with the pizza printer and all that. But he's basically saying that what they want to do is look good at home, get reelected, and continue to spend money, he says, and that's Republican and Democrat alike.
Yes.
That they're all interested in, let's spend that money. Now, I'm not opposed to spending money if it's needed.
Exactly.
You know, I could point out a few roads in America that need it.
I could point out a few roads that I travel on that need it.
Certainly, certainly. But instead, we'd like to... pay for things like the blimp that doesn't work, or how Congress works. All right, let me see if I can find another one here, because there's a bunch of stuff in here. Television ads for Hurricane Sandy.
That's over, though.
No. $65 million of money that was spent to help people that were devastated by that hurricane when it came through.
Okay.
$65 million were put towards local television ads, particularly on tourism-related stuff, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So instead of taking the money and giving it to people that needed it, or rebuilding areas that were destroyed, I mean, you know, how many of us remember those pictures?
Those are devastating pictures.
Let's advertise for the Jersey Shore and find out, you know, how many people we can get to come back.
No one's going to go there, though, if, you know, it's all broken down and run down and not, you know, built back up. Mm-hmm. I mean, one person could just fly over and see it and be like, I'm not going there.
Yeah. But $65 million to pay for ads so that people could go check it out for themselves to see, yes. All right, glad I spent that money to come here and see all this devastation. So,
yes.
You know, that's, I mean, some of it's being rebuilt. And, mm-hmm. and we'll give them that. And there's $60.4 billion that were appropriated for areas like this. So a lot got repaired. But $65 million, they're saying at least $65 million were put into local TV ads for tourism-related materials.
Now, I got to ask, because you're from Louisiana, were there ads after Hurricane Katrina?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily that they didn't do work during mm-hmm. that, you know. But there wasn't as great of money is spent on that as on this.
Okay.
Plus, the area I was from was not a Katrina-devastated area either. So I was about 2 hours away from it, actually.
Okay.
So
nothing like New Orleans?
No. And if you go to New Orleans now, things look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some areas that are still, you know, people have moved on, and it's obvious. But by and large, looks pretty good.
Good.
So, you know, they finally turned that corner.
And the Saints are back, of course, so that's always good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And apparently playing decently this year.
So. Yes. Unfortunately, though, they lost on Sunday to the Rams.
Well, you know, I'm not a Saints fan to start with, so, you know, that's I like them, but, yeah.
But not into them completely.
Not completely into them. It was nice to see them go to the Super Bowl a few years ago. That was nice. That was fun to watch.
Yes.
You know, different team in there and that sort of thing, but, yeah. Not my team. I have another team, and I'm not going to tell you who, but it's one of the two in Ohio. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
We'll leave it at that. Team involving stripes. Anyway. But I won't mention which one it is. So there you go. Lots of wasted money, government stuff. You know, and that's the thing. You think about, like I said before, the amount of money wasted here. It would be funny otherwise, but when you think about the money that they wasted, I don't know, it just kind of leaves you a little sick to your stomach.
It does. It's like the bridge to nowhere in Alaska.
Mm. Let's not even get started on that.
Yes, let's not.
Continuing on with the show, we got a little bit of a news break coming up and more with you next. Jeremy Lawrence here with you in the afternoon. Roger Taylor, unavoidably delayed. Hopefully we'll see him turn up here at some point.
Yeah, let's hope.
In the meantime, we can say all sorts of things about him because, you know, it'll never get back to him.
He won't listen.
No, not at all.
He'll come in and slap us both.
It could be. I don't know. Either that or he could come in and go, yeah, I agree with everything you said. you know, interesting, you see all this government waste, and I think it translates well into the next story that I want to spend a little time on, and particularly after CBS News, we'll spend some time chatting with you about it. But one of the things that has been brought up over the time since the government invested, quote-unquote, in General Motors was, you know, is this going to be a loss for the government? Should they get any of that money back? Well, a story that it was in the Free Press today, also USA Today picked this up. Should GM repay $10 billion rescue cost? Mm. And the outgoing CEO says, nope.
No.
He's saying, no, they shouldn't. And he has interesting reasons why. As you look into the story a little bit, basically what he's saying is that, you know, this is just like an investment, just like anybody else that would have made an investment. There's risk involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Treasury bought stock and, you know, that's just how it is. And he talked about being, you know, how we've were able to, make fixes and get quickly out of bankruptcy and change the way things work and make the company great again. There's a lot of things to be said on both sides of the issue about whether or not the government is entitled to some money back for being able to say, okay, yeah, we'll help you out. You know, because the argument was that, well, there's nobody else out there that's willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, should the government take a hit like that and not get repaid for it?
Yeah, if you're helping them out, it's like, you know, when you help out a friend, you loan them money. You mm-hmm. hopefully they'd pay you back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of along the same lines here.
Well, at least part of it anyway.
Yes.
And you know, I think the outgoing CEO, he's talking about, well, you know, saved a lot of jobs and saved a lot of different things. And, you know, really in the long run, it was good. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what people think about that. We'll talk mm-hmm. more about it after CBS News coming up here in just a few seconds. Write this number down. Have it handy. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as we continue ahead with the show. And the show continues. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor, hopefully expect to see him coming along a little bit later. In the meantime, spending some time with you a little bit here from now, we'll give listen to Bob Larson, and he'll tell us what in the world's going on with the weather, because, quite frankly, I don't know.
Except that it's snowing.
There's something white and fluffy coming out of the sky. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, it's snowing at one point it's not. Then the wind picks up, and then more snow comes.
I don't know. My car's covered again out the parking lot. That's all I can tell you. But, you know, Bob Larson, he's better at that sort of thing. That's why we have him call in.
AccuWeather extraordinaire.
There you go. So we look forward to hearing from Bob, and we can find out just exactly what we can expect. And if that warming trend is still going to be coming along as we expect it to, and we'll see what's going to happen this weekend and all the things that are going to take place. A little bit from now, too, I want to spend some time talking with you about GM. There are some that say the government should be repaid by General Motors. It was a $10 billion rescue cost. And GM CEO is saying, nope, the government should not be repaid. He says that Treasury officials took the same risk assumed by anyone who purchases stock. And, of course, we know what GM went through when they went into bankruptcy and that sort of thing. The interesting thing about it is if you really look at this, the GM that we have now is not the GM that we had before.
Mm-hmm.
Quite literally, the GM we had before ceased to exist. And they created a new GM out of the ashes with some of the – and to be honest, I think, you know, there are opinions, and maybe it's another topic for another day, but an opinions on what they should have kept and what they should have deep-sixed.
Mm-hmm.
I was never satisfied that Pontiac went away. I thought that was kind of a mistake on their part.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, you got this brand. It's built as kind of this young, hungry brand, this kind of thing that, you know, younger people want to buy a Pontiac. Mm-hmm. Well, not so much anymore.
Yeah, because they're not around now.
You know, they're gone.
And they're out of NASCAR, too, of mm-hmm. course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, now, did they, did GM pull completely out of NASCAR? I mean, did they still have the Chevy brand name in there?
Yeah, Chevy's still in there. It's just that Pontiac isn't in there anymore.
Pontiac pulled out, which, I mean, let's face it, with NASCAR, they're all the same car anyway. So, you know, it's just... Yes, we got a sticker on the front.
And this is, it says it's a Chevy or a Ford or a Toyota.
Yeah, but they're all exactly the same. Supposedly, anyway.
Yeah, just sometimes the look of it's a little bit different, but mm-hmm. that's about it.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's another discussion for another day as well. But, you know, there's different views on how, you know, should the government be reimbursed? Now, I think, to a certain degree, the government is a different kind of investor than just someone that comes along and says, you know what, I'm going to buy shares of GM. Because mm-hmm. the government is us, all of us. And the other part of it is that all of us were pretty well forced into buying GM shares, whether we wanted to or not at that particular point, because the government decided, all right, we're going to come along, we're going to bail out by buying some shares, and we're going to get things taken care of the way that they needed to be. So I don't know. We'll get some thoughts from you here in just a little while. 382-4280 is the phone number, and toll-free 877-382-4280. Before we talk GM, though, I think we definitely want to spend some time talking about the weather, specifically with Bob Larson. And Bob, I wanted to ask, what is this white fluffy substance coming out of the sky right now?
Well, we should be used to it by now, huh? It's been on for a long, long time, Jeremy, and that leads to my word. I'll get right to that. That word is continuation.
Continuation.
It's going to use snow globe. Not 100% sure that's even one word or two or if it's hyphenated, but I mean, it's like a snow globe. It just keeps going and going, so I just decided to play it safe and call it continuation. But that is what I refer to as a nowcast. It's not so much a future cast, because a big change is coming down the road, and that will bring an abrupt end to the seemingly never-ending snow.
Okay. Well, but first of all, with the snow, because we know that that's happening now, how much are we going to get, and when will it stop?
Well, we've had the Clipper come through last night, and this morning it was the second surge of snow that came down hard earlier today. Now we're dealing with lake-effect snow bands. That will continue tonight at a varying rate. At times it'll back off the flurries, other times pick up again. That'll be with us tonight into tomorrow morning, but it should be shutting down later tomorrow morning. And by tomorrow this time, I think we are snow-free. Might even see the sun out for a while.
I haven't seen that in quite a long time.
It's been a while, right?
What is this sun you speak of?
It's going to blind me.
It will be blinding on top of the shining off the white snow and whatnot. So keep the find those sunglasses. I'm going to say keep them handy. You probably put them away. I don't know where they are right now. It could come in handy tomorrow afternoon. Truth is, not exactly sure how much sun there is, but pretty confident the snow will be ending as we head into through the day tomorrow. And once it goes away, probably be a little while before it comes back because of this thaw that we're talking about that's coming. I think we're still in target for that starting Thursday.
Okay. I was going to ask about that because I know we've been kind of looking ahead to that. And you know, I think the one question that we keep asking, and you never know because it always changes, is, you know, are we looking at a melt-off of everything or just part of it? Or what's it going to be like?
That's always tough to gauge because not only is it going to turn warmer, but the warm-up will be accompanied by some rain and drizzle. It's one thing to have a warm-up for a couple of days, you know, then at night it gets cold, it tends to refreeze. But if it's warming up to the point where it's accompanied by rainfall, that can really knock out a good part of the snow. And we have a couple of opportunities for rain in the days ahead. First is Thursday afternoon and evening. That's probably light rain and drizzle accompanied by fog. Okay. When we talk about warmer weather, don't get the picture of it being sunny and delightful. Warmer, but unfortunately kind of gloomy and gray with fog and drizzle and mist. And just picture London, England. That's pretty much what it will look like.
So we're not pulling out the Hawaiian shirts and
shorts yet. No, no. Okay. And then a second more significant storm brings potentially more significant rain for the start of the weekend, Friday night and Saturday. That has a chance to, melt a good part of the snow. I think at the very least it'll start to expose patches of grass here and there where the snow has piled up quite a bit. I think that'll withstand the rain. I should point out that at the tail end of that second storm, maybe Sunday, the rain could be changing back to snow as colder air starts to make a return to the area. So we'll see how that plays out. And even if it doesn't change to snow, it just simply stops. I do believe either way it will be colder again for Sunday night and Monday, probably right through Christmas. And there can be some lake effect snow showers thrown in there so we can kind of recoat the ground after whatever we have lost.
So we're talking very likely for a white Christmas then?
I would think so. It may not be as deep a snowpack as we see right now, but I think there will be snow around, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bob Larson, for telling us what in the world's happening out there. All I knew is my car's covered. That's all I can tell you.
It is covered, right, along with a lot of other things.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. And we continue ahead with the show. We're going to be talking GM here in just a little bit. Don't you go anywhere. In fact, have that phone handy. I'm going to be talking with you about it. 382-4280, 877-382-4280 as we continue ahead. We'll be right back. spend some time chatting with you. Before we get to that, though, time for time out for traffic. Michael.
Just got a tip from a listener. Northbound 131, 1.5 miles south of the D Avenue exit, is backed up due to a possible accident.
Okay. So want to avoid that if at all possible. And do be careful out there as time marches on. Now, I wanted to spend a little time on this, since GM has, you know, the government has taken their shares out of GM. They've sold them off, and I guess it's no longer officially called Government Motors, as some people like to call it.
Yes.
But the question has come, and this was in the Free Press today and also in USA Today. Should GM repay the $10 billion rescue cost? The outgoing CEO is saying, nope, shouldn't have to do that. The idea simply being, and he had a couple of things to bring up about this. First of all, he says Treasury officials took the same risk assumed by anyone who purchases stock. The other part about it is he said that when that sort of happens, if they ended up paying the government back, there would end up being lawsuits from other shareholders who kind of expect to be paid as well.
Oh, okay.
So this is some of the thoughts that he had about that. Personally, I think the government being an investor is totally different than any other kind because, mm-hmm. I mean, the government is us.
Yes.
We all invested in GM, whether we wanted to or not.
We had no choice.
It was just decided for us, and it was done. I tend to think that in this situation, because it's the government, because it's the people, and because it's in our interest, the GM needs to come up with a plan to be able to pay that off. Yeah, okay, maybe not all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get like a payment plan. And
you know, get
something
some,
like
okay,
that.
Well, we're going to take this dividend. We're going to send it towards our balance with the government, just to, as a way of saying, hey, thanks for helping to save us there. Just my thoughts on it, but I'd love to get your thoughts as well. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as we talk about this. You know, there have been people that have said, you know, this whole thing with the government, that General Motors still being alive is a good thing. It saved jobs. It saved the economy. It saved this, that, and the other. But there would be others that would say, you know what? Yeah, they did, but at the same time, there's still a bit of a responsibility there. Love to get your thoughts on things so we can kind of get this all hashed out together. Bob is on the line in Kalamazoo. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy. Interesting discussion. One of the factors I think you have to consider is that maybe saying that GM had to repay the entire amount would have had to be an agreement made at the time that the bailout was done. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm a stockholder, I'm a pension fund who's invested heavily in GM in the last 4 years since the bailout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I had known that GM was going to have to pay back billions of dollars above what would be generated at a sale of the government stock. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would have made that investment. And how would I explain to all of my shareholders if now, after the, you know, at the tail end, they'll say, we're going to toss on another $10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the value of my shares would go down. I think there would be a lot of losses for unhappy corporate and individual, you know, institutional and individual investors.
Mm-hmm. And like I can get that angle on it, but at the same time, you know, don't you think that they have some sort of a requirement to the government to be able to say, you know what, you helped us survive, so you know, thanks.
Oh, I think if it happens, it has to be a long term structured repayment.
Oh, without
that they would have to, mm-hmm. build into their future business plan. But I mean, they benefited from the fact that they were in the United States of America and that the American government would do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of governments that would not, or would have taken a very active interest in running the business
mm-hmm.
in the Soviet era.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I think that's an obligation. I don't know if corporations have moral obligations since they're not people, despite what Romney said. But I think there's nothing wrong with compelling them to pay it, but if the payment was something large and something that would really affect their bottom line, it would cause huge problems with the investors.
Okay. Thanks for that call, Bob. Appreciate it. All right. Continuing on with the show. And as we continue on, we do have some breaking news that we want to share. And so some breaking news from the newsroom.
Yes, indeed. Sam Harold here with the WKZO.com newsroom. This just in, a Portage public safety officer was involved in a shooting midday today. A man allegedly stabbed a woman in a car parked at the intersection of Romance Road and Constitution Boulevard around 12:45 p.m. before fleeing the area. The stabbing victim told arriving officers the man had fled, and the suspect was found a short distance away carrying a knife. A plainclothes officer then shot the suspect, who's since been taken to an area hospital. No names have been released. No further details are being released so far. And both incidents, the stabbing and the shooting, are under investigation by Michigan State Police.
Okay. So as more information comes along, we will definitely let people know. All right. Thanks for the update there. Continuing on with the show here. And as I mentioned as well, that any updates that come along, we will be sharing those throughout your afternoon. Continue with the GM thing. You know, Bob brought up an interesting point here in this call that we just had. The idea that investors might not have been so fast to invest in the new GM. And that's definitely a part of the equation, I think, as you talk about, you know, would this have been something that long-term General Motors would have been the better for? But I think the other part of it is simply this, that if you're the people, and this is going to benefit all of us, that we need to expect a return on that. I mean, I'm certainly not going to be able to take a loan out from the bank and just say, mm-hmm. well, sorry, guys, I'm not going to pay you back. But look at this. I'm on my feet, and I'm investing money again. And isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's just so backwards.
I mean, you know, I don't know of a bank in America that would go, cool.
That I don't think there's one that exists.
Yeah, you know, they're not going to sit there and go, okay, that's a great idea. Yeah, well, we'll stick with that. Okay. You know, so to treat GM differently than that, to be able to say, well, it was just the government investing in it, I don't know. I have a problem with that. Yeah, I really do.
You can't have someone, well, putting it in this term, above the law would be something along that line. You have to first get like a payment program, I would say, installed where you pay back a certain amount, you know, mm-hmm. each month, mm-hmm. and then you just would whittle down that $10 billion and it would be paid off some point. You know, it doesn't have to be right away. You know, it could take 5 years, 10 years, something sure. along those lines.
Sure. And if you see a lot of, you know, I follow a lot of the business news, and there's a lot of companies that will restructure their debt with banks and mm-hmm. say, all right, well, you know, we want to be able to get a little bit more of an attractive rate, and we want to be able to pay this out over a longer period of time. And I think it's the same deal here, if you look at that, but they're not treating it the same way. It's just sort of like the people's free money pit
mm-hmm.
that, we'll just come take some of that, and you know what? You got your value back because we're still around.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
There's not too many businesses, I think, that should work that way. But apparently GM CEO thinks differently. He says, no, we had to repair this thing while it was still going, and, you know, didn't we do a great job? Well, I don't know. That remains to be seen. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as we discuss this. Do you think GM has the obligation to repay the government the money that was spent to, quote-unquote, keep them alive? I'd love to get your thoughts on this as we head towards news here in just a little bit. And you know, it's interesting. All of this has come down. You know, you've got GM now. They're on their own again. The government doesn't necessarily have a stake in it. But you're seeing some of this going now, and they're saying, yeah, thanks, government. Bye. It bothers me a little bit. I don't know. Maybe Deb has some different thoughts. Deb in Kalamazoo is on the line. Deb, go ahead.
Hi. I just wondered, did we have to sell right now? Was there some stipulation when it's making money to sell right now? We could have just kept it longer until it made that money back.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what the motivation was in selling that quickly. I mean, I have not studied the GM bailout as thoroughly as some others. But, you know, I think there was a certain uncomfortability with the government being a part of all of that. And that might have been the thought behind it. Don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I just was thinking that when I heard that, I thought, gosh, you know, I would think I'd hang out, like I hang out of my socks or I hang out to my, you know. But
well,
anyway.
That would be the smart thing, but then this is the government involved.
It's the government, so I kind of forgot that for just a second.
Yeah, you know, so smart doesn't necessarily work there.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Deb, for calling us. We have CBS News coming up here shortly. Keep it right here as we continue on with the show. Jeremy Lawrence here with you.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's News from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.